Chris, you've been doing your podcast, The Passion Pod, 4 years, 4.5 years.
4.5 years.
So
September 2019.
Damn. That's actually crazy. So you started doing it shortly before everything just all of a sudden went crazy. What was that like? Were you like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Or dude, I guess that's actually the perfect time to
It was the perfect time. Yeah, because all of a sudden people were available because no one was doing anything.
And now everyone has all this extra time that they can look at stuff online.
Yeah, yeah. Like I did, when I did my podcast, I did a 10-episode season where each guest was a different industry, edited the whole thing, and then gave myself a month to market and promote it before I put out the first episode. So I like did it kind of like an album in that way. Yeah. So I could like learn during the process, ended up re-recording the first two episodes once I kind of got more of the hang of it. So that way, by the time it was coming out, it like didn't suck. And I got it connected with Converge Radio, which is 101.9 FM in Eau Claire. That's like our local indie station. Like we have a bunch of stations, but that's like the local independent one that plays local artists and stuff. So from the first episode ever, like it came out on there. That came out in like November, I want to say. And then as those episodes started coming out, then all my other business owner friends, because I own the skateboard shop downtown and I have for April will be 10 years. So you get to know all the other business owners. They're all hitting me up like, well, how do I get on the show? Because like it's free radio advertising.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's why tough. They were hitting me up. And it's like, oh yeah, cool. Like I got to interview this person who owns this candle company or who owns, you know, whatever. Because my show is like, so the show, it's an inspirational storytelling experience where I feature unique guests that are also pursuing careers based on their passions. I own a skateboard shop. I want to interview you about, like I said, whatever, you know, beer. You really love beer. Why did you do the thing? You know what I mean? Like that's the entrepreneurship standpoint. So episodes were coming out like that. And then I was like, okay, so season two, what do I want to do? It was the winter. I closed my skate shop in the middle of the winters because there's nobody's around. Right. So January, February, I closed my store anyways. So I was like, oh, I'll go visit my sister. She lived in California at the time. So I went on a trip kind of intentionally to visit my sister. Actually, the crazy part is, do you know Jeff Wansong?
Yeah.
Jeff DeCesare, the triple flipping dude?
Yeah.
He randomly, this was like beginning of my show, right? Randomly like liked a couple photos or something on my account. And this was like less than 1,000 followers.
Like, and you're like, holy shit.
4 episodes have came out at this point or something. Yeah. I saw it and I was like, I know that name, you know? And so I click on the account and yeah, you know, he's got 100,000 followers and everyone in skateboarding knows him, whether they talk shit or not, they know who he is. And I saw it and I was like, what? I wonder. So I sent him a DM, like right then I sent him a DM and I was like, hey, any chance you would do a podcast interview? And he's like, yeah.
Like, oh shit.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. And he goes, where are you based in? And I was like, Wisconsin. He's like, oh, well we could do it remote. And I was like, no, I'll fly to LA. And he was like, you don't have to. Like, really?
So he's like blown away. Yeah, and he's I was like, oh my God.
Right. I was like, dude, no, like I've been wanting an excuse to go to California to visit my sister. Like, I'll do that. So I lined up this whole trip. I contacted my connections with Santa Cruz. And so I was like, yo, is anyone from Santa Cruz would be down to do one? Because I could pop out there for a day.
Right.
So I lined up an interview with Andrew Cannon. Do you know who he is?
Yep.
He's the brand manager for Santa Cruz, but he was pro for World Industries. And if you watch any content for like the Nine Club or for X Games or all that stuff, he's like one of the main announcer people. And he did a bunch of stuff with Woodward before too.
So cool.
He's like, yeah, he's just like rad dude. But I lined up a few interviews, including those two in California, and went on a trip to visit my sister, but more so to like record. And people like during that time, neither of them were crazy busy with their schedules where they could make it work. But it was like right after that shutdowns started happening. You know what I mean? In which case, at that point, then I already had done some bigger interviews and I already had been traveling doing interviews. And then I got invited to go out to LA specifically to do interviews with this photographer. Well, not with him, but with people in his network. So I went out there and all these people that otherwise would not have been available were available because they're not doing anything. Like I interviewed Scott Lips, who he owns Lips LA, which is the talent agency that represents like Gucci Mane and like a bunch of like huge people. Like
Lizzo
is on his agency. Like he's the drummer for Courtney Love's band Hole.
Wow.
Like he's a rock star, right?
He's tapped in.
Yeah.
He's got some connections.
Yeah. Well, so his family owned like a modeling agency. Growing up, he was already involved in it. And this dude's got to be like 50, 60s at this point.
Dude, what a wild life to grow up in the entertainment industry, specifically the promotion in the entertainment industry.
Dude, yeah.
That's insane.
And he didn't use his family connections to like get his career. He started from the bottom. He was like taxi driving around the people who were coming to visit. Cause I think he's from New York. The like clients that were coming in, he was taxi driving them, not telling him he was like the son of the owner or whatever. Anyways, he ended up like building his own big modeling agency. And that's how he got like well-known, is he got established in that way. And then Courtney Love's band was like playing their 10-year anniversary or something for his company. And their drummer couldn't perform or something happened. And Scott had been in bands growing up.
Like, talk about destiny.
Right. Yeah. And then like played with them, and then him and Courtney got along. And so he's just like their drummer. But anyways, wow. So he owns his agency and it's like crushes it. But he was one example of like an interview fell through when I'm staying at this house in Glendale, California, like, you know, in LA. Mm-hmm. This interview fell through. And I'm talking to this photographer and I'm like, yeah, like, I don't, well, now I got the afternoon open. Like, I don't know what to do, you know? And he goes, dude, I could send an email. Like, this dude's probably not available. This dude has his own podcast and he's had like Reggie Jackson on there. Like he's had everybody on this show. The dude who plays Daryl in The Walking Dead's a good friend of his. He's had like major celebrities on his show. He mostly interviews rock stars though. Like that's the basis of his show, which is called, Lips. What is it called? Well, it's Lips with LIPPS. It's something that's like super obvious that it should be called. Why can't I Lip Service.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's called. Yeah. So anyways, he emails him, and he goes, well, tell me more. So I sent him an email right then, like, hey, this is my thing. I'm in town, whatever, whatever. And he's like, yeah, well, just meet me down at, whatever this building was. He's like, can you meet me in Hollywood in like 30 minutes? I was like, yeah, sure. You know, whatever. So I got an Uber ride down there. Same time frame. The night before, I was this girl was over at the house and like we were all drinking and stuff. And people all the time will like name drop people and say, oh, my, you know, my brother's famous. What are, like, yeah. You should interview him. That happens all the time. And so I've just learned to just put people on the spot. She goes, oh, my friend would do it. Like he's in a bunch of TV stuff. Right. Exactly. And I was like, who's your friend? And she pulls up her phone and it's Lamorne Morris. And I've never seen New Girl. Like to this day, I've maybe seen two episodes, but I didn't know who he was. But I was like, I kind of recognize this dude. You said he'd do it? She's like, yeah, totally. I'm like, ask him right now. And she goes, really?
What did she think? Yeah. She was like, didn't expect you to actually say yeah.
Right. But she did. And he was like, yeah, sure. Well, so I go to interview Scott Lips. And at the same time frame, this girl locks in an interview with Lamorne Morris for me. And so I go to this like this place downtown in Hollywood. We go up onto the rooftop. It's like a private facility. Like you have to check in to go there. We go up on the rooftop and I interview Scott Lips and get picked up from that building. It was called the New House. Was that building. Got picked up from there to drive straight to Lamorne Morris's house to interview him.
Dang.
Only reason that dude was available was because his TV show Woke, which is on Hulu. He was a star of that show.
Wow.
That was on pause because of the pandemic. Yeah, same day.
Like best timing ever.
Exactly. Scott Lips would never be available otherwise.
Yeah.
Dude's way too busy, but no one's performing or can't go anywhere. So he's like, yeah, I could do it. Sure, and then Lamorne Morris is like, I'm not doing anything either. I could do it. So because of that, that's what really established a network for me to have all these people that I like. They had no business talking to me at that point in time. I'm a random dude from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, who owns a skateboard shop. Like I'm not established at all. My show's still not that big, but especially at that point in time, there's like no reason for them to do that.
Yeah.
And because
they're
of the
like,
pandemic,
who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. But because of the pandemic, I was able to do that. And then the network was there and I could just like keep going with it. But if it weren't for the pandemic, the show wouldn't have grown in the way it would have. Like I doubt I would have been going out to LA interviewing any of these people because they wouldn't have given me the time.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, especially when it comes to any creative field, specifically entertainment, I think there's a lot of peaks and valleys. So when it comes to those times when you come out of a time of a lot of really good traction and you get into one of those valleys.
Yeah.
What keeps you going to the next drive? Like what keeps you motivated to keep doing it?
Dude, I mean, well, there's just so many things. Like with the podcast as an example, I didn't get into it with the intention of like, I'm going to interview people that I'm a fan of, but that started happening really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to like not be stoked.
Right.
Like I interviewed, Dominic Daphne, who he was one of the Packers tight ends. He plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now, I think. But like one day I was just like, who could I interview? I wonder if the show's big enough. Maybe I could like hit up some Packers players. And I just DM'd a dozen of them. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Like we'll be back for training camp in June. So like went out to Lambeau and interviewed him at the apartment building that a bunch of the players live at, had him sign a jersey and all that type of stuff. That's all to say like that wasn't a huge interview. like the dude doesn't have a huge social media following or anything. Right. And it's not like I made money doing that interview. I spent my own money doing the interview, but like I grew up a huge Packers fan. Like, I got a Packers tattoo. I have a lot of tattoos, so I guess it doesn't mean as much.
But, I'm so sorry but still, to hear that.
Yeah. Dude, whatever. Hey, we won. Well, not recently now, but anyways, to have the experience of like, I get to go hang out with a Packers player, mm-hmm. like, what?
Yeah, someone so that you really sick, respect, dude. You really regard. I mean, outside of doing this as like, you know, just a whether it's a passion project, a career, whatever it is, you just don't get to go hang out with people. Nobody so that is one thing that I really feel lucky and grateful to have a sort of like a platform that we can sort of become friends with a lot of the people that we really admire and that we really want to collaborate with and can really like force that, not really force that connection, but like make it so that it makes sense.
Right.
You're not just like a random person. Hey, we should hang out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, like Chris Cruzy in Wisconsin, I feel like everyone knows him. He got second place on The Voice. He's a big country music star. But like I've interviewed him twice now and we were hanging out like a couple days ago. We both do stuff with Quick Trip. So we were doing Quick Trip commercials together. And like, if I tell my, like I tell my dad or tell other friends like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm hanging out with Chris Cruzy making Quick Trip commercials. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like so many people like, would be so stoked to be able to do that, but he's actually just my friend. Mm-hmm. Like I was playing darts at the bar last night and Chris calls me to ask me some like YouTube questions. I'm with another friend of mine. He goes, who's calling you right now? And it's so funny because you know how on your phone you can upload pictures?
Yeah.
So that way when you call someone, a photo pops up. Yeah. Chris Cruzy's is a picture of Chris Farley. So I got Chris Farley up on my phone and he's calling me and he's like, oh, what do you think of this angle for this like video that I'm making, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, oh, you should change, blah, 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 blah. But it's just funny that like there's no reason I would have tried to be friends with this dude and he definitely wouldn't have been my friend otherwise. Not that he's a bad dude. He's just like... In your adult life, you have to have a reason for it.
Right.
Like people don't just become friends with random people. Like there's always a friendship or a relationship is based on mutual benefits. Like when it comes down to it and people can say that it's not, but it is either you're both in the same career. So like you learn from each other in that way, maybe like you both work in the same place. So it's the best way to pass the time, you know, you can both mutually, you know, like vent about your boss and the other person understands. There's always something that is a connection.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
Even something as simple as like being able to lean on them for emotional support. Like just like, hey, I really like our conversation. So this dude, I love hitting him up every once in a while. I have buddies who, you know, I won't talk to for a year, 2 years, 3 years, but I'll call them and we'll be on the phone for 3 hours.
Right. Totally.
And it'll just be a great conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like we just talked yesterday.
Totally.
You know, so it's like there's just some people that you just like talking to.
Yeah.
So that.
But you have to have a thing that connects you in the first place. Mm-hmm. Right. That's why so many people, when they used to work together, they were so close when they worked together. When they no longer work together, they're not close anymore because all the things that were mutually beneficial of that relationship now are gone. So sometimes people hold on to relationships longer than they need to as well because it no longer makes sense. You don't have similar career paths or ideologies or like there's just not anything that's really bringing you together. But with what we do, we have something such as the show that is an automatic connection now with all these people.
Right.
And not only that, but like if you think about it, how often do you sit and talk in depth with somebody about your life for an hour, you know, hour, almost maybe never. More than that.
Especially a stranger. Like we've never met prior to today.
Right, exactly.
You know, other than like an Instagram DM, we've never even heard each other's voices.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than through a YouTube video or a podcast recording. Right. So, you know, to have this context to someone, if we were to explain this dynamic to someone in like 1990, they'd be like, what the?
Exactly.
Like, that's weird.
Well, but for the guest too. Right. Like, you know, I don't know. There's a bunch of them that I've interviewed. So it's hard to like pull somebody's name out of my head at the moment. But John Poveromo, like, or whatever, there's a million of them that I've interviewed. But even those people, they don't have conversations like that all that often. So once they do, you're like strangely close.
100%.
It's like you don't really know each other that well because you just met and literally you've only been talking for a couple hours. But in that couple hours that you've been talking, you've talked very in depth about things they really care about and you have this mutual respect and understanding and everything. You built this connection with this person that they don't have with hardly anybody else. Even their
really
like personal friends, because their personal friends don't ask the in-depth parts of their career because they don't care.
Right.
Right. So you have this like weird, unique connection with these people that a lot of times, not always, I'm not going to say everyone I've interviewed right. still follows me on Instagram. We talk all the time. But there's a lot of them that I have their cell phone numbers and we definitely yeah. talk and have hung out outside of recording after that
uh-huh.
just because we built that connection through it. And that's so cool.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, even just people that we've had on the podcast here one time
yeah.
that we'll like, you know, if they're musicians, we'll like go to one of their shows. It will totally. See them posted on Instagram and we'll just show up. We'll just be there.
Yeah.
And like, holy shit, didn't think you'd come. And then it's like this rekindling this friendship. And it's yeah. like, it's like a different dynamic.
Totally.
You know, we've only met one time, but it's like, we're homies now.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
And you don't really get that in any other dynamic of meeting someone. You don't just show, maybe at the bar, if you're both drunk and
sure.
you know, you're like, you have a strong relationship because yeah, yeah. you're willing to, you know, maybe get vulnerable with someone. But why do you think that really is? Just because you're kind of like forced to explain yourself more?
Well, why is that? It's the conversation set up for that reason. Like, they know they're being interviewed for a reason. And it's not meant to be surface. Because otherwise, why are they even doing it? Versus like right. when you have a conversation with people, it's usually the same things. Oh, what do you do for work? Blah. Oh, where have you been to? Blah.
Yeah.
I was just traveling to blah.
Like, weather. But
there's, it's so, it really though, it's a lot of the very surface things that like, they're not even going to remember what the conversation was about because it's the same shit that they've had with everybody else.
And but it if doesn't
you're,
matter.
Right. But if you're good at doing what you do with the podcast, it's engaging and everything. You're asking them stuff that they actually had to think about that nobody else really even talks to them about. So that's why you're able to build such a strong connection in such a yeah. short period of time. Like I said, it's just a unique dynamic that you don't get from any other thing. Granted, there are people that like when you're just getting started and you're really learning how to interview that, you know, they just have this outline of like, I need to ask about these main key points of your life. And that's kind of it. And it doesn't go anywhere beyond that. Then that connection's not necessarily there because the person's turned off, right? Because it's like, I've been interviewed a bunch of times too. And when somebody just asks you the same things that you've been asked a million other times, you kind of shut your brain off. You're like not even really that engaged.
Whatever.
Like you're talking and it's not that you don't respect them or don't care about what they're doing or whatever, but you just go in your same autopilot mode of like, guess I'm summarizing my life the same way I have every other time. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to somebody that it's not like that and it is engaging, like I said, it's refreshing. And all of a sudden, not only that, but you share vulnerable things with that person where it's like almost awkward not to be friends. You know what I mean?
Right. Because
it's like, you know, this person so well,
that's
they know
point.
You so well, like, if I just pretend that we don't know each other now, it's really weird.
No, it's awkward.
Yeah, because you definitely know a lot about me. I definitely shared things about myself that I don't talk to everyone about.
What a strange dynamic.
Yeah, weird. Dude, weird things that podcasting do. Let's can we have a beer on the show?
100% we can.
Cool.
I would love it if we did.
Yeah,
what do you got here?
So Hop and Barrel is from Hudson, Wisconsin. My buddy Justin owns it, which is such a dope little story. I interviewed him a long time ago, but he's a family lawyer. And started like brewing beer. Yeah, started brewing beer like on the side for fun and then started entering competitions. And then it just like took over his life. He still does a little bit of law on the side, but he has a brewery in Hudson. They're just
does he do his own artwork?
No, actually, I'm supposed to do a can at some point here.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I love this, so this I mullet man.
That's the newest
this
one.
This is badass.
Yeah. If you want to try that one, that's like their lighter one. Yeah, totally.
Wisconsin lager.
Yeah, whichever one you
want. I'm a big lager fan too.
Dude, yeah, whichever one you want to do. They do a lot of IPAs and stuff. And I know I'm just plugging, but really it's like Hop and Barrel is just dope. Like when it's your actual personal friends, like yeah. the owner of Hop and Barrel, we actually do go and hang out.
That's good.
Like it's not
that's
exclusively just like business, which is dope. I love being able to support like people that I genuinely also am like stoked on.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so yeah, I brought these ones. So I figured you could have one.
That's sweet. I appreciate it. You know, we don't normally drink beer around here. We're not big alcohol guys, but you know, well, I guess we'll make an exception
for
today.
In the Midwest. Yeah, right.
Bottles all over the set.
Yeah. On tap.
The show's name is On Tap. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, what's really funny is our start, the show that we have originally was basically how drunk can we get? Who's going to say the craziest shit? And what can we get clips out of this?
Yeah, dude.
And that was like the start of it. And looking back at it, it's like, wow, this is so cringy to think about that. It's like, also the internet was a different place.
Sure.
Podcasts were a different thing.
You were early on in the journey.
And I was still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, totally.
You know, but yeah, basically just like how much beer can we drink?
Yeah.
You know, who can drink the most? This is the prize. You know, it's so strange.
Yeah.
So strange. But I mean, there's something to be said because like I went back and looked through some of your episodes from a couple years ago.
Oh, sure.
recently, there's really not that much difference between them. You know, you can tell that you're more comfortable now.
Yeah.
You know, but really, other than that, it hasn't changed much. Is there a reason for that? You try to keep it kind of the same ideology?
Yeah, there is like a real goal with the show that wasn't exclusively like, how do we get views and stuff on this? Like I told you before, we don't, my show aired on the radio first. Like it's always been an audio thing. Yeah. Small town, dude. Like you'd be surprised. I remember when I wanted to like get on the radio, I think I remember telling people and they're like, well, how did you get on the radio? It's like, well, surprisingly, it's mostly volunteers that are just homies. You can just reach out, dude. Like you want to get your song on the radio as a local artist? There's probably a local independent station that's small in your town that probably would play it. You just got to actually reach out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But my whole story, dude, it's like I walked away from corporate sales jobs because it was soul sucking. I hated it. And there's this all this existential stuff that happened in my life. My dad had a heart transplant. My parents split up. I had my first child. I had all these things happen that was like made me think about my life, you know, and if I were to die, like what's my legacy? And at the time it was like I was just making money like everybody else was. You know, I was on that fast track of how do I make money to have a comfortable living like everyone does? Like that's the goal we're really bred to like go towards. So I was making really good money. I was making like $70,000 a year and I was 22 or whatever, like at Verizon.
Damn.
Without a degree, like I was doing really well, but I knew I wanted to do something that I actually cared about. I've been skateboarding my whole life. I wanted to open a shop since I was like 14.
It's like every skateboarder's dream. Yeah. I feel like I want to have my own shop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, a lot happened. So I'm like really glossing over a lot, but I decided I wanted to chase that dream of opening a shop. And I found when I opened, which was April 11th, 2014 was when I opened. I found so quickly how little money I needed. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was very obvious to me that I made a lot of money before that, but all I did was spend it when I wasn't working to try to make myself happy because I was so unhappy. Versus when all of a sudden I had my shop, dude, like I would ride a little cruiser skateboard, like skate to my store from my house with coffee in my hand, listening to music every day. And I realized I didn't even want to spend money anymore. I had nothing I wanted to buy.
Yeah, that feeling of like that bliss, that like real happiness. When you experience that, it's like this is maybe more valuable than actually having money. Like I could care less.
It's like the fog was lifted.
Right.
It was like, oh, money's not important.
You don't have to have this to really be happy.
That was the first time it really clicked to me that money is just a tool. That is it.
That's it.
Nobody wants money. Anyone who says they want money, you're wrong. You don't want money.
You want what you can get with the money.
Right.
Yeah.
You want whatever the money gets you, whether that's like status or whether that's, you know, like I said, it could be power. It could be an item. It could be more vacations, but it's not actually the money itself. That's just a tool. So when you get rid of that idea and you go, okay, well, what is it that I actually want? I don't necessarily need money to get there. There's a lot of ways to do that. It opens up a lot of different worlds. So anyways, but by doing that, that's all of a sudden what my life was about, was like I built something around something I really cared about, right? And so anybody else who was doing something like that, that was inspiring to me. And so the point of the show was I wanted to inspire other people to chase the things that they're passionate about and build a career out of them, which was intentional with why I had the first 10 guests all from different like industries, to show you that like it doesn't really matter what your thing is that you're passionate about. There's a way to make a career out of doing that. And by listening to the show, not only are you going to be inspired to like think about, okay, well, what would I do if money didn't exist? If I didn't have to make any money, how would I choose to spend my time? Okay, cool. Now that I've listened to these other stories, I can pull from these people and go, this really worked for them for what they were doing. I could probably use that lesson for myself, right? And so as the show goes on, I can learn things from all these different people in that, like, that message and that goal has always been the same. So I've gotten better at doing it. I have better equipment and I'm able to get, you know, a hold of whoever. And now it's like a big part of my career professionally. I do it. But like the basis of the show remains the same because I want to have that type of an impact. It's not about getting clicks. And even like YouTube shorts and stuff, like lately I've been doing some dumb little editing things with animations and stuff. The point isn't the shorts, dude. The point is to pull people from that to go to the full interview, listen for an hour and walk away inspired going, why am I doing what I'm doing with my life? I didn't even realize I got here. How did I get here? The last 10 years, I've just been doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing and I didn't stop and think about it. I don't have to do that. I can be whatever I want. The world's open to us. Like, I know, like, we're privileged white males and we have it easier. But even so, like, things are still, like, the tools are still there for just about anybody to do just about anything they want if they're willing to work for it.
There's different skill levels that sometimes it requires, for sure. But at the end of the day, we had talked about this off camera, but the only way for you to not get really what you want is to just stop trying.
Yeah. No, exactly.
At a certain point, you just kind of have to go do it. You kind of have to just make it happen.
Right.
You know, I'd heard this quote that was like, what do you want to be in 2 years? Just start acting like that now.
Yeah, totally.
Just start doing that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's going to be some hurdles that you're going to have to overcome.
Yeah.
But how would that person react to that hurdle?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Wayne Hoffman told me that, actually. That was the first time I ever heard it. That was the last time I was nervous for an interview, too. Which is a long time ago. That was like episode 40 something or 30 something. I don't remember. But Wayne Hoffman's this illusionist, and he's based in, forget the city, but in Florida somewhere. And he does like big stadium shows and stuff there. He's been on Ellen DeGeneres and like every major TV show. He's like the dude that reads minds. Like,
that's crazy.
In that world, he's like, you know, he's very established.
The name doesn't sound familiar, but I'm sure I've seen him.
You have. He's been on every, like I said, all the TV shows. Okay. He's been on all of them. But he's not like big on social media. Not that it matters. But when I was talking to him, that's another guy. We've just become friends, which is so like weird. Like last time I was in Florida, I texted him and I was like, yo, I'd love to pop out and like catch up with you. And he's like, yeah, sure. So I drove, I think it's an Estero, like Estero.
That's wild. My wife has family in Estero.
Really?
That's actually crazy.
He's the one on the huge billboard outside the stadium.
Okay.
That says like Heinz Arena or whatever the arena is. It's like a big picture of him.
That's crazy.
But anyways, I texted him. I was like, yeah, we should catch up because we just got along really well. He's like, yeah, sure. Let's have a beer. So I drove like an hour from my dad's place, and met him at this like bar. And it's so funny. When he walked in, he's wearing all white linen. Like he's Jesus. And he's got like long hair and like the scruff, like unkept kind of look. Yeah. And in behind him, like as he's walking towards me, behind him is the billboard of him. Just absolutely like ridiculous.
You can't make this up. No, this is wild.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny because I know like the waitress and stuff too that was there. The wait staff was like, I see your face everywhere. And he was like, you know what I mean? But anyways, talking to him, like he's changed really helped me with my mindset on all that stuff. Like I was saying how, man, I was so lucky to interview this person. And he goes, no, you're not. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, don't use that mindset. They're lucky that you interviewed them. You have the biggest podcast in the world and they should be grateful that they're on your show. And I was like, that's kind of radical thinking. He's like, do you expect to be? I was like, I mean, that might be pushing a little bit, but I do expect for the show to be like a really big
successful
thing.
Yeah,
totally. And he goes, so be that person.
Just do that.
Right. Be that person now. You know, and he was like, as an example, this one girl who's a model, she really wanted to get further ahead in life and was asking my advice. And for her, he's like, well, let me help you with your press kit. Right. And so for her press kit in it, he put like internationally acclaimed model. And she's like, but I'm not an internationally acclaimed model. He's like, well, you will be. Just put it on there. What's it gonna hurt?
Put it there.
But just by doing that and having the confidence of it, really quickly she was an internationally acclaimed model.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was like that self-fulfilling prophecy. The funny part is like you talk like that and some people love it. I'm exhausting to be around because some people love it. They're like inspired and excited because I'm inspired and excited and always like bah. But like other people are like, dude, you're so full of shit. Like you're not,
you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, like you're not that whatever. Like you're not that cool. Blah blah. Your ego is out of this world. I'm like, whatever, dude.
Whatever.
Like I don't think so. And I'm just trying to like live my truth and be the person that I want to be. And maybe it's, you know, maybe I'm acting as if I'm bigger than I am or whatever. But that's going to be the fastest way for me to become that person, anyways. So if you don't like it, sorry, dude. It's nothing against you.
Yeah, I would say some of my closest friends would definitely say that I at times have a total blind confidence
right,
in whatever I'm working on.
Totally.
That's like, you know, even from the start of this, before we'd even had 100 downloads, it was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever worked on. And this is going to be the biggest project I've ever done. And, you know, it's really funny is that I would DM any celebrity, influencer, actor, you name it. I would DM them as if this was the coolest thing that is been around. It's the most unique show and you need to be on this and we would really love to have you and we're willing to pay.
Yeah.
Not much. We don't have a lot, but we're willing to pay.
Sure.
And, didn't get any DMs back from anyone besides Miles the You Betcha guy. And sure. It actually led to me working for him out there in Fargo. And long story short, now here we are 4 years later.
But you only needed one.
Just one.
You don't need everyone to sign on.
No,
you
definitely
need
not.
One person to believe you. And there's going to be a million naysayers. And the people who are naysayers that don't believe in you are also the same type of people that don't believe in themselves.
True.
The limitations that they think you have are just reflections of their own limitations, not of actually your limitations. They're just pushing that on you. You don't have to believe that. But
that's a really good point.
They don't. People like that, they don't want to see you succeed in this thing because they don't think they're capable. And by comparison, it makes them feel shitty. So they don't want to see you actually succeed in there. That, they're not encouraging you. Those are not the types of people you need to take advice from anyways. You know what I mean? And regardless of what you do, not everyone's going to like you. Like, it's just not, it's not possible for that to be the case. So you should at least chase being the person that you want to be, regardless of if it, right, you know, rubs some of the people the wrong way or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you do something where it's going to get eyes and attention, cause that's what you're doing. Like, you're going to have people like that. You know, you guys are in the YouTube game way harder than I am. Like, I get stupid YouTube comments all the time. Yeah. Like, I had one dude comment the other day on something, and it was like, wow, only this many views after this many days. You must really like listening to your own voice because nobody gives a shit. That literally was what he said.
That's crazy.
You must love listening to your own voice because nobody gives a shit.
People are savage in the comments.
And I'm like, well, for one, you would never say that in real life to my face. But two, like, you're right. This random video didn't do well. Like, I also posted quite a few other ones, you know, like kind of playing the game of learning.
Yeah,
it's like the YouTube Shorts game. Like, yeah, that one had 13 views. This other one has 5,000. So shut up. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what was crazy was a big perspective shift for me was, and I wish I remembered, like, I don't remember if it was a podcast or YouTube video, audiobook, whatever, but it was basically something along the lines of like, close your eyes. It almost felt like a guided meditation. It was like,
okay,
close your eyes and envision yourself in a room with some of the most successful people that you've ever been around in your entire life. And now think to yourself, what is the occupation of these people? Are they plumbers? Are they salespeople? Are they what you are currently? No. What are they? That's what you envision as success. So why can't you just chase that? You know, so it's just like a weird perspective shift.
Yeah,
and in my head at the time, I listened to this when I was like 17, 18. Sure, and I was like, oh my God, you're right. I thought in my head, I was like, I'm going to be in sales forever. And then I'm going to, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to have a 6-figure salary and I'm going to be happy because I'm going to be making really good money. And then I realized like, oh my God, I actually don't think that's success.
No.
I don't really care to do that anyway. Yeah. So then right after that, I was like, screw it. I don't want to do that. So I just jumped to doing freelance work full time.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is a big perspective shift. So when you say, you know, you don't need money to be happy, I feel like I've fully experienced that for myself, where it's like, I've been in a position where I've made what I consider to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this sucks because I'm working all the time. I don't like what I'm doing.
Right.
I would much rather be broke and happy than sad and rich.
Yeah, totally, dude. There's a reason that like you celebrities and stuff still commit suicide all the time, man. Uh-huh. It's the money isn't what makes people happy. It's all the other thing. Like, there's so much more to it, but the money is not what makes them happy. But dude, that's one of the things when you asked earlier about like the show being something that you want to continue to do even if something's not working, right? Like, oh, why is it not getting very many downloads for this thing? Why are these people not responding to me for this thing? Or why can't I get a contract for this and like make any money? I should be making more money. This should be working better. Dude, because every interview that I do, I should say 99%, not every single one, the vast, vast majority. Because sometimes you meet a guest and you just didn't know them beforehand and their persona on the internet's different and you don't click as well as you would like. That's not a common thing, but once in a while where it's just like, oh, well, what are you going to do? But the vast majority of the time, dude, I'm lucky enough to have these. I shouldn't say lucky. I've built it up to be something, but still some luck happened. I get to sit down with all these people that inspire me, that I'm so stoked to be able to hang out with for the day. Even if nothing else happened, just the fact that I got to hang out with them is so rad. How can I not want to do that? I remember I was interviewing, and I've told this story a couple times, but I was interviewing Sunreal, who is my number one streamed artist on Spotify.
I was actually going to ask you about that. That was the first episode that I ever watched of your podcast.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Awesome interview. He seems like a phenomenal guy.
The Sunreal interview?
Yes.
Yeah. Only problem is I only had one camera and I had to angle it weird in the green room. So I'm blurry and it's only on him, which is fine.
I didn't even notice that actually.
Because he's the star.
I watched it. And I didn't even notice that. So
that's funny.
Don't even worry about that.
But no, dude. So like he was, and I think he's my fifth most streamed artists on Spotify before. So, but I've been a big fan of his for a long time. But he posted on his Instagram that he was going on his first tour in like 3 years because it was like pandemic. He didn't do any touring and he had twins, like had two more kids and whatever. Yeah. So he hadn't traveled. Posted on his Instagram saying he was going to go on tour and St. Paul was listed. And I was like, wing and a prayer. So I DM'd him and I'm like, what's the chances you do an interview? I know that you used to skate, like I own a skateboard shop and I've interviewed some pro skateboarders and like do the whole little, you know, pitch. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, dude, sure.
You're like, oh my God. Sick. Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, here's my manager's email and cell phone number. Hit him up. Like we'll line it up. It'll be cool. So fast forward a few months or whatever. And he's coming to town. It was at Amsterdam in St. Paul. And we walk in at the same time. It's like 3:30 or something. Walk in the same time. And it's like, whoa, dude. Like, and he's not like he's crazy famous, but to me, he's like one of my favorite artists of all time. And so we chat a little bit, go in the green room and he's like, yeah, however long you need. So we do like an hour long interview and I'm nervous the whole time.
Yeah. I would be too. I mean, that's like genuinely huge, someone that you really appreciate.
I said earlier, I don't get nervous for interviews anymore. Generally speaking, I don't. If I'm a big fan of somebody, I still get a little bit of the like fangirl, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So anyways, did the whole interview with him for like an hour or whatever. And I thanked him up and down like, dude, thank you so much for taking the time to do the show. And afterwards, like off mic, he goes, dude, you don't need to thank me at all. He's like, I didn't do it because of you. I did it because my manager said what you're doing is rad. So props to you, man. You're crushing it. And I was like, wow.
Okay.
That actually means way more than you just being a nice guy. You actually like right. respect what I do enough and your team respects what I do enough that you thought it was like worth your time. And he goes, you gonna stick around for the show? And I was like, dude, how do I buy a ticket? Like, I guess I didn't really know how this was going to work out today. And he goes, oh no, you're with me. You're good.
That's so cool.
I stayed the whole rest of the night. I ended up going out into their tour bus and I interviewed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Interviewed Sol, S-O-L. He's a rapper from Seattle. He was his opener. Interviewed him just like impromptu in the van, which was dope.
That's cool.
Found out, like hung out with his merch guy for a good while who actually, Sunreal's first job ever. He was sponsored by a skate shop up in Vancouver where he's from when he was like 13. His first job was at the skateboard shop. The dude who owned that skateboard shop is now a wildlife photographer, but was on tour with him doing his merch for him.
That's crazy.
So yeah, talk to this dude about skate shop, like owning a skate shop.
Talk about full circle. Yeah.
Hung out with the whole night. And I remember during the show, when he was finally on, I remember like being there, setting my beer on the stage. Cause I'm like behind security. I'm like at the stage, setting my beer at the stage. And I had some people like kind of turning their backs on me, I guess, in my zone. Not like I had a whole bunch of like haters or whatever, but I think there were people that only ever saw me as the skateboard guy because I owned the skateboard shop for so long that all of a sudden there was this little thing of like, oh, you don't skate that much anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not at the shop anymore. You don't care or whatever, which is bullshit, but whatever, you know what I mean? And so I was having some of that and it was really bothering me because there were people that I was personally invested in. Like I thought these people were my friend and the last time I saw them, like I hugged them the last time I saw this person and now we're not cool. And I never had a bad interaction with them. It's just their perception of watching me on the internet of like, all of a sudden I don't care or whatever, but I'm watching the show and it just really dawned on me that like, I'm so happy in this moment. Like what I'm able to do right now, like he sold VIP tickets ahead of time where every person got to talk to him for like a minute. You know, and he did this like two songs on acoustic, before the show or whatever. And I thought about it. And I'm like, you know, how much money you would have to spend to be able to get your favorite artist one-on-one for you to use content from it, even for your own page. But like to sit down with your favorite artist for an hour and then hang out with them personally, like sharing appetizers in the green room, like hanging out with them the whole night. Anybody that doesn't support me for what I'm doing isn't my friend.
Or they just don't see that perspective of it.
True.
Like there's no way if you see it from that perspective, there's no way that you can't appreciate that.
Well, and that's it. If anybody doesn't want me to do what makes me happy, and this makes me happy, then they don't belong in my life. I don't like maybe they did before, but they don't anymore. And it's not that I have to hate them, but it's just I don't need their opinion on anything because I know that I'm chasing happiness just like we all are. And this is what this opportunity was able to give me. And it's not money. I didn't make money on the episode or anything. You know, it's not nothing like that.
Yeah.
But just like being able to do that. And then when my Spotify Wrapped numbers came through this year and he ended up being number one, which made sense. I listened to him more after that interview, screenshotted it or whatever. And or no, I didn't screenshot. I shared it to my Instagram story And Sunreal then DMs me like within 5 minutes, love you, bro. And I'm like,
that's so cool.
Dude, that's so rad.
Yeah.
Like, if your favorite artist did that to you and actually knows you.
That's
like,
insane.
Dude, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a, it's a really cool dynamic, you know. And with any creative profession, I think there's a lot of people that end up getting some form of imposter syndrome, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a huge form of that, you know. Yeah. Is that something that you think you've ever had to deal with what you do?
All the time.
Because here's literally the problem with what we do.
Yeah.
You pour your heart and soul into something, whether it be a video, an edit, a body of work,
and then you get
even just a graphic.
Then you
for
get a comment, and it says, "You must really love listening to your own voice because nobody gives a shit."
Yeah, there's nothing worse than like this thing is going to be the biggest thing I've ever done, and then it gets the worst views that you've had on anything.
Yeah, and when you already have imposter syndrome, when people are pushing that, like basically calling you a fake, you're like.
Yeah. Just validating it, you know. How do you deal with that? Like, selfishly, I guess this is more so like, what's some advice that you could give for someone that, like me, I get bad imposter syndrome. I know it's completely unvalidated.
Yeah, totally.
Where it's like, you know, looking at analytics, you seeing statistics telling you there's growth.
Yeah,
but then internally being like, oh, this is shit.
Dude, your numbers are your like best and worst like things for you, because you can see the growth, something measurable that you can then hammer in your head and so, nope, I absolutely did better. Yeah. A big part of it is I like to tell people, and you're asking my advice, and your YouTube channel is way bigger than mine, but
hey,
I like to look
perspective.
At people.
That's just numbers. Subscribers don't really matter anymore, I feel like.
Well, anyways, you guys are crushing it. So I am honored to be here.
I appreciate
thank you so
that.
Much. I only had to drive 2 hours one way to get here, guys.
Yeah, thank you for coming, by the way.
Yeah. No, I'm stoked to be able to be on this. This is really rad. I really want to connect with like more people in the Midwest, because the show like started with all this like me going out to LA all the time. And I'm like, no, like I want people to remember I'm from Wisconsin. I love it here. I want to be here. Well, this is Minnesota, but whatever. Like, I like the Midwest. But anyways, what I was going to say about the imposter syndrome thing that I tell people is you just need to look at a larger scale and look at where you were a year ago. Don't look where you were a month ago or a week ago, or, you know, this video is not performing as well as my interview from 3 weeks ago. Why not? The guest has bigger numbers. It should do better. I had another camera. Like, don't look at that. Give it enough of a like litmus test there, right? So if you look at where you were a year ago versus where you are now, it should be pretty damn obvious that you're a lot better at it than you used to be. Like, can't even argue that it's way better than it used to be.
Yeah.
When I see that, that's what really validates my mind. Like, nope, I am better. But dude, imposter syndrome is something I struggle with a lot. It's often that I'm like, man, this person gave me the time of day to do this interview, and their Joe Rogan interview has 300,000 views and mine has 400. Like, what am I doing wrong, dude? There's other podcast interviews that have even less views than that. So it's just like, I get it. I get it very often. And it is something that I frequently struggle with. But, you know, what I say is successful people never look at a situation of if they're going to do it. It's just how they're going to do it, right? Like, I am going to succeed in it. It's not whether or not I can. I am going to. It's just how long is it going to take me to get there? I'm not really sure. How am I going to get there? Not positive. Like, may have to switch directions and do whatever to get there, but I will get there. So even if I have imposter syndrome now, like, oh, I'm not any good, I know I'm going to be good. So I just need to continue to do it. And if I look at my progress from a year ago and then the year before that and whatever, I can see that I am making progress. Even if it's not as much as I want and I'm not where I want to be or whatever, right. I am making significant progress, meaning a year from now, I will make more significant progress. And I'm already making a living, not by much, but I am making a living. So why give up at this point? Yeah. I have everything kind of working now. You know, I pushed through the worst parts of it at this point.
Again, the only way to not succeed is just not do it.
Really? Yeah, absolutely. Like Joe Rogan, we talked about this earlier. Joe Rogan has like 2,000 some guest interviews. Like, no shit, he has an audience. You interview 2,000 people, of course you're going to be good by that point. If you're worried like, oh, I don't have an audience or whatever, like, how much have you made? How many albums have you put out?
Right.
Like, how many episodes have you put out of your show?
Yeah.
Keep doing it. And if the key of it is just do your best every time. I don't know if you ever read that book, The Four Agreements, super famous book.
Yeah, I have actually. What's the author again?
Man.
It's not Deepak.
No, I can't even, I don't remember what his name is.
I read the book and I listened to the audiobook. The guy's calming, like, Indian dialect.
Right.
So good.
Yeah, dude,
it's such a good book.
But the one part of that anyways was one of the four agreements is to do your best every time. Regardless of the situation, always just do your best. And his goes into depth of, like, when you're showering, really focus, which, you know, sure. But when you're talking about whatever project you're working on, if you're doing your best in that moment, you are automatically going to get better. Even if you don't see better results necessarily from the next thing, you still are improving overall on what that thing is, which is why I said you look at it like from a year ago till today rather than, you know, just one video to the next or whatever. But if you are actually doing your best, there is no possible way that you won't see progression. Like, you will. You just have to continue to do it. The thing is, most people stop doing it because they get discouraged. The people who succeed are the ones who just kept doing it long enough. Like with skateboarding, right? I'm not particularly great or whatever, but like growing up, of all the kids my general age, like the 30 or however many kids like my general age that were skating, I was definitely one of the worst ones. Was I the worst one? No, because that was always someone who just started. But like I was like one of the not very good ones at skateboarding, but I loved it and I still skated. Well, years and years and years went on. Well, yeah, by the time I was in my mid-20s, like for my area, I was pretty good.
Yeah. Because
only because I did it for so long.
And also everyone, you know, eventually has kids, gets a job that doesn't allow them to be able to go out at the same time.
Totally.
And just stops doing it. Well,
there's
whatever.
A million things that come up.
Yeah. And then, like you said, you're just one of the ones that just kept doing it. And you just have that time, those repetitions under your belt.
Right.
And then by default, you're better.
Yeah.
So that makes complete sense. Yeah, I never really thought about it from that perspective.
Yeah,
that's
dude,
a good point.
Whatever thing it is that you're doing, you just got to keep doing it. And that's where it's like so important to do something that you really love. Because if you're just doing it because you think you're going to be successful doing it, you're not. And it's because the people who are going to be successful doing it are people that really love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to hit these walls where you're like, why is this not paying off? This hard work's not paying off. Don't do it unless you actually really enjoy doing it. Because you're not going to be able to push past that. Right? The people that succeed are ones that, like, even if they're not getting the results they want, they like doing it anyways. So they're going to keep doing it regardless.
Yeah.
Like with the show, I definitely don't make a lot of money doing the show. Like, but I make something and it slowly has gotten to be more of a living. And I still only make money because it's between I own a physical business like the skateboard shop, then I have my show, and then I also paint murals. So between all of those things, I'm able to make it like, definitely a modest living, but I'm able to make a living doing that. But it's because all of those things I would have kept doing anyways if I didn't make money. Like I said, the question that I mentioned earlier is like, this is what I ask people is, if money didn't matter, how would you spend your time? What would you do with your life if money was unimportant? Some people say, oh, I travel the world and do this, that, whatever. Like, probably not, maybe for a brief amount of time. But really, for the next 40 years, what would you spend your time doing? Because you could do anything you want. You can find something that, yes, you have to change that a bit for it to like make it into a career. But if you can identify whatever that thing is, you're going to be okay with not making very much money doing it. You're going to be happy doing it the 5 to 9, right? I heard Fuller Moe, this graphic designer I interviewed a while ago. He's a homie of mine. He does the stadium like t-shirts for Gucci Mane and a bunch of these people. He's in Minneapolis. He's epic.
Awesome.
I'll show you him. He's incredible. But he posted something or said something recently that was like, your 5 to 9 is what's going to get you away from the 9 to 5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was like, how would you be spending this time of yours when you're not working? What would you be doing that you enjoy doing? Do that and do that and do that. And if you really love it and you keep doing it longer than everybody else is doing it, you will make money doing it. It's just a matter of time. Just don't be in such a rush. Don't say, well, I only have 6 months. Like, I need to be able to make a living off YouTube in a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so many people are doing it. That's not going
to
happen.
You're really putting a limit on yourself. And when it comes to something, especially that has the ability to have creative interpretation on it.
Yeah.
I feel like limits like that will hurt most people. It definitely doesn't hurt everyone because there is people that can put that limit on themselves.
It's good to have goals.
And succeed under that kind of pressure. But I would say there's a lot of people I know that once they put a time limit on it, that immediately sets them up for failure.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I didn't make it in 6 months, so now I'm done.
Well, and you got to think, like, if you're trying to do something for a living that other people do for free as a hobby,
yeah,
you need to get better than all of those people. Like, it's going to take a long time to do that, man. Otherwise, everyone would be doing it, man. Like, so many people like making music. To make a career out of music takes a lot more than that.
Yeah, talk about a saturated industry there.
Talk about podcasting. That's even worse, dude.
That's a good point.
Dude, there's so many podcasts.
Do you think podcasting is more saturated, or trying to become a rapper is more saturated?
Dude, Minneapolis? I don't even know.
I feel like probably trying to become a rapper is more saturated, because I feel like the barrier to entry and the longevity is easier to maintain.
Dude, maybe.
Is that out of pocket to say?
I feel like that's a close one, though. You know, because so many people, man, like, especially for the longest time, when I would, you know, people would ask you, again, those surface questions, like, oh, what do you do? And I tell them, oh, yeah, I have a podcast. And they're like, oh, cool, my brother has a podcast. It's like, yeah, I get it. And, like, that's cool. And I'm not saying every other podcast sucks, because it doesn't. My podcast sucks, but some people like it, so that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, you tell people that, and everybody already, like, has this idea of what a podcast looks like, because they know someone who has a podcast, and it's them drinking with their friends. And, mm-hmm. like, everyone would love to hear the conversations between me and my friends. Yeah. We have the best ones when we're high. It's like, no, you Come don't. On. Like, no one actually cares.
Yeah.
It's like, because if people, yeah.
No, yeah. I 1,000% get it.
Oversaturated.
And specifically speaking from experience, I get it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, way oversaturated. But that's the thing. Like I said, to be able to get to a point where you can make any kind of money doing a podcast, you're not doing it for the money, because you could have done anything else and made that money easier.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing it because you really like doing it. But by the time you get to a point where you're establishing yourself and you're making a living, it's because you've gotten relatively good at it. Again, it's all relative, but relatively good at it, because you've been doing it for a really long time. Like, you just have to keep doing it for a really long time. I still do interviews where I listen to them and I'm like, wow, dude, I sucked in that one. You know, like, yeah. From my own perspective, yeah. I'm like, I obviously didn't know where I was going with that monologue in that moment. Like, I look stupid, or I, like, why is my camera set up that way? So I'm way too close to the screen, because I, like, definitely didn't frame myself right in the camera. Like,
that's so funny, because you're one of the only people that are going to notice that, when it comes down to it, because it's your own thing. Creatives, I think, are some of the most self-critical people when it comes to that kind of stuff, when it comes to the actual body of work.
Yeah.
Because I'll notice, like, looking through some of our old episodes and be like, oh, the white balance is so different from camera to camera. When it switches, it's like, oh, this is dumb. It goes from green to blue, and it's, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then I'll be sitting there explaining this to one of my friends, and they'll be like, dude, you need to settle down.
Dude, but
I would never even think that.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if you can make, like, the difference between, okay, here's an analogy. If you have two things that are the same, one of them gets 10% better, right? Like a song or whatever, it's 10% better. Is it going to reach 10% larger audience? No, it's going to reach 10 times the audience, right? So every little bit extra that you can do makes a huge difference. That's why when you look at everyone at the bottom, that's like baseline starting from here to here, there's a huge amount of progression, and there's way less people that are going to be there. But the difference between, like, as you, like, go up the levels, there's less and less people. The difference between here and here is hardly anything at all, because everyone's already kind of fine tuned. So you think it doesn't matter, but it does matter.
Right.
The people who are watching it don't realize that it matters, but it does matter.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, the people that don't understand, when it comes to just like camera quality, audio quality, whatever, you know, people don't see it as all these individual things that break it down and make it a good video. They just see good video, bad video.
Yeah. Well, not only
really,
that.
Can't really understand why.
No, but, and not only that, but even just like the descriptions in your videos and stuff, like all of that stuff actually plays a huge factor. If you can make, and I'm not saying like you should spend hours and hours and hours and hours on one random little thing, maybe the first time so you know how it works so you can do it faster in the future, but like all of those little things matter, especially when you're in an oversaturated market where everyone's working really hard. Like, what do you think, you're just the genius that nobody else can ever catch up to, and you're just, whatever you make is going to be gold? It's not. There's other people working just as hard or harder than you, so how are you going to keep up? You need to, let's, like I said before about like doing your best, you need to do everything in your power to make whatever this thing is the best you possibly can. And I'm not saying like hoard it for a year and a half before putting it out until it's perfect. Not saying that at all, but I am saying in the moment, continue to do the best that you possibly can. So yes, you may think like, oh, it's silly that like the white balance is different from this video to this video. It does matter. The people who are watching it maybe don't even like fully realize why they think this doesn't look as good as this other show they watch. They don't know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look as good. But if it does look better, all of a sudden it will retain more people. So yeah. It's, you just don't be like, don't beat yourself up over it.
Right.
Learn from it. But like, those things do absolutely matter.
Yeah. I'm also the type of guy, like I got that gene, like my brain won't shut off.
Dude, same.
You know, I'm yeah. going to always worry about something, or I'm going to always think about something.
Yeah. But that's what keeps you improving.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because you're constantly noticing things that you very could have critical. Been doing better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've been in the same boat of like, the thing that I've been trying to hammer in my head is to be kind to myself. Of like, especially when you do a podcast and this, like, you, there's certain amounts of editing you can do or whatever. But really, for the most part, you're sitting down with someone you don't know that well and in one take creating this. Right. And it's not like you record a 5-hour podcast and cut it down to 20 minutes of the best gems.
Right.
You don't cut out very much.
No.
Like a tiny bit, but not much. I don't cut out a whole lot either. Like how this is doing public speaking kind of as improv.
Yeah, that's a good
point. It's not a speech that like you worked out a million times. It's not like a stand-up comedy set where you've perfected all these jokes. You know exactly where you're going to go. Everything's off the top of your head. You're doing the best that you possibly can in that moment. So accept that that was the best you can do in that moment and you're happy with what you did. Now you can look at how can I be better for the next one, but like, don't beat yourself up over mistakes.
Yeah.
They already happened.
They're already done.
Like you cared about this thing. It's not like you tried to make that mistake happen. Like you definitely didn't want that to happen, but don't beat yourself up over it. Everyone's always making mistakes all the time. That's just another opportunity for you to learn from it. Hopefully it's not a huge mistake. You know, like the biggest mistakes typically happen at the beginning. Because you're learning a lot of things, right? Like if you're going to lose an episode, that probably would have been a while ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't turn my camera on. Like, what? Like that's not going to happen now.
Right.
Because you had moments in the past that
that had happened.
Dude, everyone I know that podcast, everybody has had that happen.
No memory card in the camera.
Everyone, nope. Dude.
Didn't bring my battery. You know, there's so many
things
that have happened.
Your computer didn't have enough space on it to save. That happened to me one time. Yeah, dude.
Like, what a sickening feeling, you know?
Yep.
It's just like that one variable that you should have known about.
Yeah. Well, and then you learn how to avoid all those things.
Yeah.
And like I said, like when you're looking at the white balance or whatever else, the takeaway from that is once you realize what that was, it's an easy fix. Now you know how to make that not happen in the future. So it's a good thing it happened because otherwise you would have never noticed and it would have kept happening.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to get better is to see your mistakes, to see the flaws in what you're doing. And not look at it as like, oh, I suck because I blew it on this thing. Look at it as what I'm doing, I'm already good at it. This is a way I can be better at it.
Yeah, okay.
Switching the mindset, I think, changes a lot.
It's all perspective.
Totally.
It's all perspective, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Interesting. Damn. I didn't realize that I would come out of this episode today feeling a sense of inspiration.
Well, I'm glad it's inspiring and not exhausting.
That.
Like I said, it's one or the other with a lot of people
with
me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Have you ever taken one of those corporate-y, like, color personality tests?
No,
But you know what I'm talking about?
I'm a
yellow.
Yeah,
like yellow, red, blue, green. Okay, so I just recently took one of those.
Oh, cool.
So it's funny that you say that because, you know, there's definitely some personality traits that it gets very specific on, and I don't remember what the name of this one was. I know there's a billion of them out there.
Yeah, sure.
Is very some most of them. I'm gonna say 99% of them very corporate-y.
Yeah.
Very like this is why our work culture is the best kind of thing.
Yeah.
This one that I took, I'll have to look it up. I'll when we're done with this, I'll look it up. But there's very specific traits that sort of just like help you understand the way that you work and the people that you work really well with and why.
Sure.
And I think, I don't know. I don't know where I was really going with that.
Self-awareness is huge, dude. Like the 100%. The one, it's okay to have flaws. We all have flaws, but being aware of the flaws is like the biggest part of it. Cause then you can work on those things or you can just accept those parts of you or whatever. But like, it's just, you need to have the self-awareness. So if you can build that up for yourself, then you'll be able to improve and like have a better perspective on everything. Cause otherwise you're sitting there going, why do I suck at this thing? Why do
it's like, you gotta understand. It's a weird game. It's like, you gotta be able to humble yourself, but you also gotta be able to pick yourself up. And those come from two opposite parts of your brain.
Yeah. But with the self-awareness thing too, like you can't take that outside. Like talk about being humble. Like being humble is what gets in so many people's way. Like it really does. Cause nobody wants to come across as an egotistical prick. Like I totally understand that. But I was talking to this music artist the other day, Shrimp Nose. Have you heard of Shrimp Nose? Yeah. What a name, right?
No.
Shrimp Nose. He makes like lo-fi, like chill hop and stuff. And he actually is on a nationwide tour right now. He's from Minnesota, which is why I asked you if you knew him. He's from Minnesota, but he's been living in LA for quite a while. anyways, we were talking about how like he doesn't do interviews. He's like, yeah, it's, you know, feels weird to like talk about myself, you know, basically like saying like the whole modesty thing. And I, what I was saying is like the whole saying of there's a fine line between cockiness and confidence is bullshit. That is not true. It is not true. There is not a fine line at all.
It's you a think huge it's the spectrum. Same thing or it's way different?
Huge spectrum.
Okay.
Because what I think, where I think that line is not where you think that line is, which is not where my girlfriend thinks that line is, which is not where her boss thinks that
line is. It's all subjective.
Right? You know, there's either end of the spectrum, right? And you're not in the middle. You're somewhere over here. So the problem is, if you want to be so modest that you're just confident, that you don't reach cockiness, wherever that line is, there's still going to be everybody on like past that part of the spectrum is going to think you're cocky.
Mm.
So then what are you going to do? You're going to keep dialing it back and dialing it back and dialing it back
until you're a shell of a person.
Right. Until literally nobody thinks you're cocky. Guess what? You'll be nobody at that point.
That's a good point.
You gotta be like, you have to put yourself where you feel good about how confident you are. And not worry about other people thinking you're cocky, because that's that is inevitable.
On top of it being subjective, it's also situational.
Totally.
So there's like 1,000 variables to it.
Yeah.
On top of it being interpreted by everyone differently.
And here's one thing that, you know, we have to deal with, and I guess everyone does, but especially like when you're putting yourself like on YouTube or whatever, you're putting yourself in a position where, for one, there's a million trolls that like are behind the keyboard, so they never have to have the repercussions of their actions. They can just, you know, they can just say whatever they want. But you're putting out yourself out there to be criticized in a very public way where everything's on camera. So people can easily point out your flaws. But the difference is, everybody has flaws. I just don't get to watch yours on the internet and point them out.
True.
Like, it's real easy to pick me apart, because again, all this is for, like,
you see way more of me.
Yeah, you see me all the time, like talking for hours and hours and hours about whatever without it being like a pre-recorded script of whatever. It's real easy to judge me because you're looking at what I'm doing, because you can see what I'm doing. If I could see what you're doing, I could judge you too. I'm sure I could point out a million things that I think you suck at. Oh, you made a mistake on this. You were a jerk in this situation. Yeah. Wow, you were lazy in that moment. You're pathetic. Like, if I could see the full picture of your life, I'm sure I could point out moments that are like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not focused on what you're doing. I don't care.
Right.
Like, not about any of that. I want to see you succeed. So I'm not even looking at that. So you can't let the people, like, all these outside feelings of you going like, I don't want to come across cocky in this moment. Like, dude, let it go. It's about what you feel comfortable with. You're not going to please other people. And they don't think about you as much as you think they think about you. Like, you're always sitting there going like, oh, what are people going to think if I go in this direction or whatever? The only time they're going to think about that is when it's in front of their face for that 5 seconds, and they're going to totally forget.
And that's it.
Dude, it's like when they try to chase these things because they're like, oh, well, what would my parents want me to do? Your parents aren't thinking about you. Like, I don't know how hard, like, I have kids. Do I think about my kids? Absolutely. Not 99% of the time.
Yeah. You know,
I am really, when they're in front of me or something specific I'm talking about or thinking about, but I'm going about my day in the same way your parents are going about their day. The vast majority of the time, you're not what they're thinking about. So stop worrying about it. You're worrying about what they think for way longer than them even thinking about it.
Yeah. I would say a lot of like my fear for creating some content, usually when it comes to like just a funny video, I think of like, if I saw this video, I think it would be funny, but I don't want to make it because I'm afraid of like what maybe some people in the community would say. But then I think to myself, these people don't even ever see anything that I ever post. So why is my only fear to not do this rooted in something that doesn't even exist?
Right.
That makes no sense.
Well, and if you're trying to make something that everyone likes, nobody will like it.
Right.
Because it's not like specific enough. It's not in a lane enough.
It's not genuine.
Yeah. You're just making the most bland thing ever. You know, like you asked me before the show, like, oh, is there anything you want to avoid? And the only thing I said was like, oh, I don't want to talk about anything super inappropriate because my kids may potentially watch it at some point in time. And like, I have daughters and I don't want to say anything about whatever, you know what I mean? But other than that, like if you're trying to be like a politician, you know what I mean? If you're trying to say only things that everyone's going to agree with, you're not going to inspire anybody. You're not going to connect with anybody because everything's just the most surface level, bland thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to go on a political rant, but just as an example with like someone like Trump, whether you love him or hate him, personally, I hate him. But anyways, with someone like him, the reason people love him so much is because he doesn't care that you have to, you don't have to agree with him.
A lot of people find it refreshing that it's just genuinely him.
Right. And that doesn't have to apply to politics. It could be anything else. It could be music too. Right. Right. It's like whatever you have to make, you should be unapologetically yourself making the thing that you like the most and assume that most people aren't going to like it. You don't need most people to like the thing. You don't need the majority of the population of the earth to listen to your show.
Right.
Joe Rogan doesn't either.
And honestly, it might not even be that good if they did, because then there'd probably be a lot of negative repercussion from that too.
A lot of people
aren't going to agree with what you're saying anyways.
But that's what I'm saying is like, you can't make stuff like trying to please other people. Right. Like I said, they're not even thinking about it most of the time anyways. It's in your head more than it's in their head. And it's also just not going to be good.
Can confirm.
Yeah. It's just, it won't be good. So you just have to make what, again, is your best in that moment that you feel good about. And then promote it and tell people that you made it. If you don't tell people that you made this thing, no one's going to see this thing. And yes, you'll have people go, oh, you really love listening to your own voice. Shut up. No, I don't.
But that's not inspiration as a listener to go out and just start doing whatever you want to do, whether it be a job, a creative project, talking to someone that you love, reaching out to an artist, a famous person that you just want to talk to. I don't know what else is. So, I mean, Chris, I think this is a great place to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, dude, get
where out can here. Where can everyone find you?
Dude,
what's your
everywhere.
Socials?
Passion Pod. Not the Passion Pod. Just Passion Pod. Not Passion Podcast, although you'll probably find me. Passion Pod. Pretty simple. Here's a sticker, if you can see it on the camera.
Boom.
Maybe, maybe not. Passion Pod. Actually, if you DM me your address, I will mail you stickers. Oh, anybody that does, I'll call it out right now, even if it's like thousands of people, which I'm sure it isn't. But if you want stickers, I will mail you some. I have ones of those. I have ones of my art, which we didn't really talk about, but I paint a lot. Shoes, I paint murals, I do all kinds of board graphics. But Passion Pod everywhere. YouTube's the new thing, hot new thing all kids are doing. I just finally started really working on that real recently. But that is where long-term I want to be more. You can find me on the radio if you're ever in Eau Claire. Eau Claire, Wisconsin is my hometown, but I do travel all over the place. Instagram is my main haunt. If you want to talk about like social media, I do read all my DMs. I'm not that big where I don't. I definitely read all of them. So you can DM me and get a hold of me there. Super easy. I don't check TikTok. I post once in a while. Don't really check it. Don't use Facebook. Sorry.
It's a necessary evil.
Yeah. There's only so much time. 100%. You know, if I had unlimited time, I could look at all these things I could be doing better, but I have to manage my time and say, where can I put it? I need to put it into 2 hours of driving out to middle of nowhere, Minnesota today.
And then
2 hours back.
Exactly. Thanks again for making the trip out here. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And honestly, I don't think it's crazy to say that we'd love to have you on again. And you know, we'll figure out an excuse to get you out back out here in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no, I'm definitely down. This was a really good time. It's nice to connect with other, like I said, with other creatives. And I'm sure people will see a lot more stuff between the two of us in the future, even if they don't know it's between the two of us. Right. You know, whether it's like a guest that you interviewed that's driving through my area or vice versa, or we're doing a commercial for this thing. Like, we are each other's people. We'll be doing cool shit.
Yeah, definitely. Hell yeah. Well, thanks again, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.